Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Okay, I had to get out and come back in because I had a little bit of technical difficulties. I moved my mic and I lost my mic. So, okay. Now I just know not to move it too much because the plug's kind of finicky. Okay, so like I said, that article was is saying the semi-truck was the one that caused it, so we don't know. We know how they always want to say it's the truck's fault, right? Okay, so that was in South Carolina. Now, like I said earlier, we're having some weather come through around here Thursday into Friday or Wednesday night into Friday, because right now around here, it's not raining, it's not doing anything here, but I know it is coming across because sorry, my dad and Greg were both out in Chicago area and it was raining out there. So with that being said, here is what's happening in PA already. Now, I know, like I said, we don't have anybody actually technically listening to me right now. So if you guys do go back and listen to this broadcast, just remember, this is, you know, what's going to go on starting tomorrow. We'll get into a little bit more detail on that in just a minute. Okay, PennDOT issues major commercial vehicle travel restrictions for Thursday. So that will be the 15th of December, okay? The Pennsylvania Department of Transportation and Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission have issued commercial vehicle travel restrictions for Thursday ahead of a winter storm. Freezing rain and sleet forecasted for Wednesday night into Thursday morning. And PennDOT and the PTC, which is the Toll Commission, have issued commercial vehicle travel restrictions starting shortly after midnight on Thursday. So that would be 1 a.m. on the 15th, okay? So here in just a few hours, basically. Tier 1, I-79 from PA Turnpike to I-80. I-80 from I-79 to exit 173, which is Lamar, and I-70 from Maryland to the PA Turnpike, I-76 in Fulton County. Tier 2, I-70 from I-79 to I-76, and Tier 3, PA Turnpike 76 from the New Stanton to Breezewood exits, and I-99 the entire length. Okay. Then at 6 a.m. on Thursday, that was all at 1 a.m., on December 15, Tier 1, I-81 from Maryland border to I-80, I-83 entire length, then I-283 entire length. Noon on Thursday, December 15, Tier 1 is I-81 from I-380 to New York border, I-84 the entire length, I-380 the entire length, and I-476, the PA Turnpike Northeast Extension from I-78 to I-81, Clark's Summit Exit 56 through 131. Okay, and this is how they talk about their tiers, if you don't know, okay? Under Tier 1 restrictions, the following vehicles are not permitted on affected roadways. Tractors with trailers. Tractors towing unloaded or highly loaded enclosed trailers open trailers or tank trailers, tractors towing unloaded or lightly loaded tandem trailers, enclosed, unloaded, or lightly loaded cargo delivery trucks or box trucks that meet the definition of a CMV, passenger vehicles, cars, SUVs, pickups, trucks, etc., towing trailers, recreational vehicles and motorhomes, school buses, commercial buses, motor coaches, and, of course, motorcycles. Now, we all have that one friend that will drive a motorcycle in crazy weather. Okay. On roadways with Tier 2 restrictions in place, tractors towing loaded tandem trailers are not permitted unless there are chains or other approved alternate traction devices on board. Additionally, all school buses, commercial buses, motor coaches, motorcycles, RVs, motorhomes, and passenger vehicles towing trailers are not permitted on affected roadways while restrictions are in place. So if you have your chains and your route is going to be a Tier 2 restriction, you're good to go. Just put those chains on and go. Okay. On roadways with Tier 3 restrictions in place, no commercial vehicles are permitted except loaded single trailers with chains or approved alternate traction devices. Additionally, all school buses, commercial buses, motor coaches, motorcycles, RVs, motorhomes, and passenger vehicles towing trailers are not permitted on affected roadways while restrictions are in place. So basically, everything has to be ceased and halted and not moved unless you're a tractor trailer that has chains or approved alternate traction devices. That's for tier two and tier three. Tier one, nothing is allowed on the road. So, okay. PennDOT asks drivers to avoid travel if possible. If you must drive, officials ask you to slow down, use caution, and be aware of changing weather conditions. Okay. So if you have any more questions about that or you want more information, you can go to www.511pa.com for the most up-to-date travel information from PennDOT. Okay. Now, I will also share these links to our Facebook so you guys can actually see. I'm trying to see if I can do it right now while I'm thinking about it, because I said I'd share stuff before and it's like I forget, you know, because, hey, I'm only human. So anyways, I will see if I can share this here in a little bit. Okay. Let's see. Okay, now moving on. So now we have a road closure that was in South Carolina, okay? We have road closures that are scheduled for PA. Okay, here's one. All of my Colorado people and all the ones that run out there, here you go. Okay, this is another big road closure, okay? Closure of every major road in northeastern Colorado leaves truckers stranded. A blizzard in eastern Colorado prompted the closure of major roads in the northeastern part of the state on Tuesday, leaving truckers stranded. The December 13th closure, so this was actually yesterday, left truck drivers in the area with no choice but to shut down and wait it out. Interstate 70 and Interstate 76 were both closed down for more than 100 miles, and nearly every other major roadway between Denver and Kansas were shut down as well. In Colorado, there are no other major interstates that directly connect Denver to the rest of the country and West, reported Channel 9 News. Sitting here, I'm not really making money, said Thomas Mack, a truck driver who stopped at a gas station in Hudson, Colorado, that was full of drivers wishing they were out on the road. If I can keep the truck moving, that's how I can keep making money. And we all know that concept. If the wheels aren't turning, I ain't earning. Okay. So it goes on to, if you get delayed, that really sets your schedule back, says Isaac Koch, who was stuck waiting for hours in a parking lot at a Carl's Jr. Time is of the essence. When there are backups and delays and road closures, it really does set us back. You're pretty much got I-70, 25, and 76. There's probably backways in that. I don't know. But Those roads are going to be closed longer than what the interstates will be, Matt continued. Yes, and that is true. They don't ever do the back roads. I couldn't tell you how many times out here, since we've lived in our area, that they wouldn't do our road. You know, it was pretty bad. I think it was last year, the year before, that a sheriff's officer got stuck at the end of our road and Greg had to go pull him out. Because back roads just don't matter. Okay. Goes on to, the safest thing to do is just wait and not take any chances or risk because it could be catastrophic, Couch said. It also comes down to Mother Nature. Yeah, it's safer to sit at home, or not, sorry, not sit at home, but in conditions like this, to just sit and wait it out. Yes, you know, you can be that outlaw and put it in gear and take off down the road and say, you know what, there's nobody out here, I can make it. And at one mishap of the wheel, and you're stuck. Now, where you were stuck at a truck stop, now you're stuck out in the middle of BFE on a road that is closed, and nobody's going to come and get you. So now you're just sitting there, and it's like, maybe I should have done what they said and stayed at the truck stop. Because if you don't supply food in your truck, which I don't care who you are, whether you have a microwave, inverter, or any means of cooking anything in your truck, the best thing to do is when you're out here on the roads in the winter is have some sort of food in there. Even if it's protein bars or, you know, like Chef Boyardee, you know, SpaghettiOs or raviolis. Yeah, it might not be that warm. Well, it would just flat be cold and probably be nasty cold. I couldn't tell you, but at least you had something in the truck to sustain you until you're able to get to the truck stop. Especially, like I said, in the winter on these roads, and things happen. It might not be your fault that it happens, but now the roads close down and you can't get home or get to a truck stop. So now you might be sitting in that truck for 2 or 3 days. It's always good to have something in there. That's the reason, like with Greg, I make sure he has stuff in the truck. Now, granted, a lot of times I give him, you know, he has some of those meals that you just throw in a microwave that doesn't have to be refrigerated. You don't have to add water to and stuff like that. Or, you know, like the ramen noodles, you know, he always carries water in the truck because he makes coffee, but it's just one of those things that's nice to have that stuff in there. So if you do need it because of road conditions and you get snowed in somewhere and you're not at a truck stop, it's nice to have that stuff. Okay. So let's see. I know I'm reading a lot of articles today, but last week we had some callers. We had Greg and Robbie both on, so it was actually nice because we had people to talk to. This week, so far, it's almost 25 after 7, and it's just me talking to a screen, which I know nobody's going to listen to this. So that's okay. Want to know why? Because I'm going to be here whether you guys call in or not. Because if you do decide to call in, and you're like, wait a minute, I called in, but nobody was there. I'm here. I will always be here. Unless for some ungodly reason I can't be, at least you guys know you have somebody here to talk to. Okay. Now, we have talked about the Tesla trucks, you know, that's coming out. And we all have our ups and downs and ideas with these and, you know, it's like one of those things, do we really want them? We don't want them. Nobody wants the self-driving, you know, autonomous trucks and, you know, battery-operated trucks. But here's the thing. Tesla releases video of the semi-durability testing in the harsh, quote-unquote, conditions. Okay. It doesn't make no sense to me even show the video due to the fact that you guys can't see it. So Tesla recently released a brief video taunting the ruggedness of the company's new-to-market all-electric Class 8 semi. Do we really think it's that rugged? Come on. Okay. Tesla shared the video on December 13th with the caption, "Our engineers tested semi in variety of harsh conditions to maximize reliability and durability." In the video, the Tesla semi plows through a large puddle goes through suspension testing, passes over a ladder, and drives through dirt and snow. Hello, my car out here could do all that. Can it pull, you know, a fully loaded trailer, you know, grossed out, whether it's, you know, a flatbed that can gross a little bit more, or what is it going to do with the heavy equipment? With an RGN like what Robbie pulls? Come on, do you really think you're going to max it out with a max weight and, you know, and be able to pull it? Like I said, my car can go through a large puddle. My car can go through suspension testing. It can pass over a ladder. Seriously? And drive through dirt and snow? Come on, people. What are they thinking? The video is 34 seconds. Okay. Here's the last caption. It says, Tesla recently delivered the first semi to Pepsi-Cola after the company ordered 100 of the trucks in late 2017. Tesla reported plans to produce 100 Tesla semis by the end of 2022 and 50,000 electric semi-trucks per year by 2024. Okay, you know I got to watch this video. I don't know if it's got any volume or not, but we'll see. There's no volume. You guys will find this hilarious because it is exactly that. Really? It was an extension ladder. Like I said, my car can run over. Oh, wait, they had it pulling a flatbed with it looked like concrete barriers on the flatbed. Oh, and now it was just bobtailing through snow. Alrighty then. But I will have to share this stuff on Facebook, you know, on our page, because that is just ultimately, that is flipping hilarious. I'm telling you. Funny as all get out. Okay. But anyways. Okay. We all know when you go into some places to unload. Now, if you guys drive flat or drive van or pull van, most of the time your guys is easy. Okay, let me reframe that. I'm not going to say easy because that's just, you know, being judgmental, I guess. But most of the time what you guys do is just open your doors and back up to a dock, right? Do you have to back around crazy stuff? You know, if you do, hey, that's good. I remember the first time I started, well, not first time, but because I've always pulled flat. Okay. It's always been my, you know, covered wagon, you know, flatbeds, Conestogas, whatnot. But I, when I was working for a guy out in Latonia, or anyways, I would pull a van from East Palestine to Clinton, Tennessee. Easy run. Never that much weight. You know, and it was easy. I liked the van. I did, because literally all I had to do was open my doors. Okay. But the place we went to down in Clinton, Tennessee, you had to, I'm going to be blunt, it was a bitch to back into, because it was like doing a serpentine. You know, you had to back into on the driver's side, back up around the corner. Then you had to jack it around, not hit a tree, you know, and it was tight fitting. But anyways, it gave you a lot of perspective on backing ability. And I remember Greg telling me the first time I went down there, he's like, you know, he says, it's a pain to back in there. He says, you're going to be in and out a half a dozen times checking. And I was, because I was nervous about it. Because where I had to back into, because you couldn't pull up in there. You literally had to back in off the street. So it would take me a little bit, and I would work on it. And, you know, and finally I got it down to where I could do it. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I can do this. Well, I will never forget the day that I went and backed up in there first time, but I didn't have any pull-ups. I was able to back right up in there, and, you know, I didn't have to get out 100 times and jack it around. And the guy in the dock, and I cannot remember their names for the life of me now, but he stood there on the dock, and he's like, I have never seen anybody do that one. I was like, I just hit everything right. I just hit, and now mind you, I never did that again, but it was like, I hit every one of the marks that I needed to get in there perfectly. So it was, you know, it's always a good time to talk about. But the reason I'm bringing that up is for the fact today, now we all know, we all say we're good drivers, right? We pay attention to our surroundings. And we do this, we do that, whatever the case may be. And we take pride in our equipment. Because heaven forbid something happens to your equipment, you know. So the reason I am saying this is today I get a phone call from Greg. And he's telling me about what happened to him today. Now, mind you, y'all know what our equipment looks like. We take pride in it because it's what makes us money. Just like y'all, if you know, whether you're an owner operator or a company driver, you take pride in the vehicle because it's what's going to make you, you know, pay for your lifestyle. Okay? So, I'm going to see. Crap, I can't do that. Anyways, I want to call a guest. Let me see if I can do this. We'll see if we can get him on. See, I'm learning things today, guys. What number it'll be. He might not even know the number, so bear with me. Okay.
3-0-9-3-2-9-4-0-7.
Well, let's see this. I'm going to tell him to answer the phone. Because I know he's driving. I seen that he was driving because I was smart enough to look at that first.
3-3-0-9-3-2-9.
And he can't call me back. All right. Well, because I wanted him to tell you what happened to him today. Like I said, you know, it's just us talking, so it's not like that. But it's the little things that happen that is not your fault. It is not, you know, but things happen out on the road, okay? And we all know this. Let me see. I want to see if he's still moving because it just showed he was. I don't even know where he's at. Let's see. He's out on 30. You see, you know, we've talked to you guys about the trackers, and they're like the best thing to have. Let me see if he answers this time.
3-3-0-9-3-2-9-4-0-7 is not available.
Hey, Greg, it was me calling you from the radio station. So if you listen to this voicemail, I'm going to call you back. So you better answer your phone this time. So, anyways, we know how that is. Okay. See, he hasn't looked at the message either. But anyways, okay. So, we'll see. Maybe he'll call. I mean, I don't know. Who knows with him? But he was out at a place. Now, he left last Saturday because he had to go to South Carolina. And he delivered down there. He had to deliver there on Monday. So, you know, he left Saturday evening. I think it was actually about 5:30, 6 o'clock before he got out of here. He left Saturday evening, delivered Monday morning, went up and reloaded out of North Carolina, coming up to Lancaster, PA, or Leola, actually. But he was up that way, unloaded, reloaded a two-stopper and took it out to Chicago area. Now, as he's out there at Chicago, because this place that was basically a interplant move, not interplant, but plant-to-plant move from, oh, look, he's calling us now. We're going to bring him on. See, if you would have just answered when I called him, right? Okay, here we go. Hey, I was trying to call you.
If right. A number like that, you know how these scam numbers, these spam, no. I blocked it. I blocked the number before I even looked at it.
Seriously? I even sent you a message
yes.
and told you to answer the phone. I was calling you from
no,
the radio station.
Yeah, I seen the message after I already blocked it.
Well, by golly, no wonder it was going straight
don't
to
play, don't play games with me tonight because I ain't no mood for it.
I wasn't playing no games with you. I wanted
you
to
got,
bring
you
one.
Got two. You got two phone numbers you can use besides that radio station. You don't have to use that call. That phone to call me.
Well,
that
I
line to call me.
Worked.
You got two other phones sitting there you could have called me on.
I understand, but I had to. I wanted to see if it worked because it says you can, so you're a guinea pig. I guess I should have forewarned you.
Yeah, well, it's blocked now, so you don't have to worry about it doing it again.
I can unblock it when you come home.
Oh, yeah, I'll give a shit. I'll block it again, too, you call me. I see it just come up from Bronx, New York. I don't know nobody in Bronx, New York.
It came up Bronx, New York.
Yes, it did. Bronx, New York.
Oh, that's weird.
And I damn sure ain't going to Bronx, and I don't want nothing to do with anything up there.
Ain't that a truth? No, it's just been me here tonight, so... But I was talking about mishaps of, you know, on the road, things that happen that is not your fault.
How about things that are your fault?
Well, you know, it is and it isn't your fault, so.
No, it was. It was my fault.
Well,
you
want to elaborate?
I'm owning this one. It was my fault. It's a hard lesson learned. It's my fault.
I know, but do you want to elaborate on what happened?
Do I want to elaborate on what happened?
Yeah, because I have not stated. Like I said, it's just right now, it's just us. I'm going to share this whole posting afterwards, but I just want to, you know, because we all know everything happens out there, and it could be, A, your fault, B, not your fault, or, you know, just a big old cluster, you know. So
basically, when it comes to down to up there, I mean, it was a tight area to back into. They had a wall outside. You kind of had to angle back into, you know, you had to kind of back in the door to 45. You didn't have room for the truck hardly out there because of a wall with a you know trailer. The door. Was about 6 inches wider on each side than what the trailer was. So when you're backing in there, and then when you get inside the door, I had to jack the truck around inside the building at a 45-degree angle to get underneath the crane so they could get the crane, get a hold of that lathe that I had on, well, both of them, to pick them up to get them off the truck. So... You know, you got two spawners back there, guys at work there that's supposed to be watching to help you back into the door so you don't hit anything. Well, that's why I have always said, get out, look for yourself. Don't take their word for it because how many times have I said, you're the captain of the ship. If something happens, you can't blame them. Even though they're there, you can't blame them because they don't drive the truck. They don't know always what it takes to turn one and get maneuvered around.
Right.
And that's what I didn't do. I relied on them to be my eyes back here today because it was pouring the rain down. We was trying to get it back in there so they could get unloaded. It was my fault. I knew I lost that right side of the trailer. I couldn't see it. I was watching my truck, trying to protect the fenders on it, on that wall, and watching the back of the trailer, and I didn't see... I couldn't see, you know, 4 foot, 5 foot back on the front of the trailer on the side, and that's where I bumped the side of the building, the door. And it was just enough because the tarp was tight because I hadn't loosened that kind of soga up. I hadn't loosened anything up yet, so it was tight. had it been loose, had I loosened it up and relieved the pressure on it before I backed in there, that would have had room to move a little bit, and it probably wouldn't have done anything. But I didn't. It was tight, and it couldn't move. So something had to give. And it gave, all right.
And when that, it was your tarp that gave.
When that upright, that roller hit the side of the wall right there on that building, it couldn't move back or forth, so it was going to move one way or the other, so it did. And that's when it busted, shattered the rollers in it. It broke the rollers in it, and it literally ripped the tarp. It didn't cut it, ripped it. So much pressure on it only takes so much pressure, and it just ripped it right up the seam, right up the side of the upright where it hooks into the panel. So you live and learn, you know?
Yeah.
So we roughly got probably $1,500 at least to fix the trailer, the tarp, and then 400 and some mile deadhead home from Chicago, and then another 45 mile over to Pittsburgh and 45 miles back to drop the trailer off to get it fixed, and then it's going to probably be 2 weeks, probably at least 2 weeks of downtime before I get it fixed and get it back, because it probably won't be back till after the first year. So, one screw up, not paying attention, look how much it's going to end up costing me in the end now.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can sit and cry about it, or you can fix it, shrug it off, and cost of doing business.
True. Okay, on another note, what's the weather doing out there?
Well, when I left Lake Station a little bit ago, it was raining all the way down out of Chicago. Set traffic up there for almost an hour trying to get out of Chicago because of a car, I don't know, as much as there was an accident down there and had, now, up there right there on 94 coming across from the state line, right there at exit 2, they had the three right lanes closed. Now there's, five lanes down through there each way. They had the right three lanes closed. So you got five lanes, bumper-to-bumper traffic, trying to merge into two lanes to get around that accident. There, and we inched along there. Finally, it just broke loose and took off. So they got the cars cleaned up, scooped them up out of the road, whatever it was, and away they went. So I stopped at Valparaiso and grabbed a cup of coffee, checked this tarp, make sure everything was staying tight. It looked good. I snugged it a little bit more, and I'm on my way. So.
All righty. Yeah, they have road closures in PA set up for tomorrow already at 1 o'clock tonight because they're supposed to be getting freezing rain and sleet. So, of course,
you know that makes no sense to me.
I know.
We've talked about that on Ed's show, too, and that, to me, that is just, it's asinine out of these states. I mean, I understand that they have a lot of accidents, but it's not the snow and the road conditions that cause the accidents. It's the idiots that are putting in these trucks out here. It's lack of training, again, because, again, when from the time I started driving back in the early 80s, all right, we used to go across there with them old trucks pushing snow, literally. I can prove it by Jim and a few others. We pushed snow across there with the front bumpers on them trucks, snowshoe and Clearfield. It wasn't nothing for us to drive at 5-6 inches of snow laying on the road because it drifts. They couldn't clear it. Oh, yeah, sure, they had accidents. You know, there's always going to be accidents, but nothing to the extent of what they got now. I mean, you can't go 10 mile now, and there ain't somebody piled up. Last night, forget where it was at the other night. I forget who I was talking to. I can't even say this was a company truck. I mean, it could have been, but it was a big 379 Pete, nice-looking truck. With a reefer. Beautiful. sitting down in the media strip. It was down in Virginia. Now, it was perfectly dry.
Right.
The road was straight. The road was dry. The sky was clear. It was 50-some degrees. And this guy looked like he just drove off the road, just drove right down in the media strip, headed south, drove down in the media, and just looked like he just drove down in there and parked it. And there he sat, right smack down in the middle. And it was a pretty deep media, but it just looked like he drove right down in there. Now, why? What's the reason for that? I don't get it. I don't know. I don't know what, you know, something. It could have been a, you know, mechanical failure on the truck. You know, it could have been a tire. I don't know. But it was just, it's kind of, you know, you see more and more and more of it every day. I mean, you're seeing trucks,
right,
you know, off in the ditch, upset, bright sunshiny day, and you see a truck rolled over on its, laying on its side. Oh, it just happened about an hour ago. How in the hell do you roll a truck over on straight, dry, level roads out in the middle of just, it might be out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it would, don't even have to be around a town. I don't get it. I don't get it. I guess I never will, but I don't know. A lot of it could be avoided, but just like that stuff with PA, putting restrictions, you know, on the commercial vehicles and everything, you know, because they're expecting the roads to get slick and icy.
It's not just commercial vehicles. It's all vehicles.
So what are they going to do? Just shut the whole damn highway down, tell everybody you can't travel because they're expecting some ice.
Okay, here's how the article reads, okay? PennDOT issues major commercial vehicle travel restrictions for Thursday. The Pennsylvania Department of Transportation and Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission has issued commercial vehicle travel restrictions for Thursday ahead of a winter storm. With freezing rain and sleet forecasted for Wednesday night into Thursday morning, PennDOT and PTC have issued commercial vehicle travel restrictions starting shortly after midnight on Thursday. At 1 a.m. on Thursday, there's Tier 1 for I-79 from PA Turnpike to I-80, I-80 from I-79 to Exit 173, and I-70 from Maryland to the PA Turnpike in Fulton County. There's Tier 2 from I-70 to I-79 to I-76. Tier 3 PA Turnpike from the new Stanton to Breezewood exits, and 99 the entire length. At 6 a.m. on Thursday, I-81 from Maryland border to I-80, I-83 the entire length, I-283 the entire length. Noon on Thursday, Tier 1 for I-81 from I-380 to New York border, I-84 entire length, I-380 entire length, and I-476, the PA Turnpike Northeast Extension from I-78 to I-81 at Clark Summit Exit 56 through 131. And under the Tier 1 restrictions, the following vehicles are not permitted on affected roads. Tractor trailers or tractors without trailers, tractors towing unloaded or lightly loaded enclosed trailers, open trailers, or tank trailers, tractors towing unloaded or lightly loaded tandem trailers, enclosed, unloaded, or lightly loaded cargo delivery trucks, box trucks that meet the definition of a CMV, passenger vehicle towing trailers, recreational vehicles and motor homes, school buses, commercial buses, motor coaches, and, of course, motorcycles. And Tier 2 is tractor trailers towing loaded tandem trailers are not permitted unless there are chains and other approved alternate traction devices. And additionally, all school buses, commercial buses, motor coaches, motorcycles, RVs, motorhomes, and passenger vehicles towing trailers are not permitted on affected roadways while restrictions are in place. The same thing goes for Tier 3. It says Tier 3 restrictions in place. No commercial vehicles are permitted except loaded single trailers with chains or approved alternate traction devices. So, yeah, regular cars and that can drive except for if they're pulling trailer. So you're still going to have all those idiots out there.
Hey, the cars is the ones that, I mean, they crash just as much as the trucks. They just don't cause as much havoc when they crash because they're not as big.
Right.
But now, when, what my question is, when did PA implement the chain laws over
now,
there?
Because
they have never, they're telling you that you can't move unless you have chains.
No. Okay. Let me get to that section. It says, on roadways with Tier 2 restrictions or Tier 3 restrictions in place, tractors towing loaded tandem trailers are not permitted to move unless there are chains or other approved alternate traction devices on board. They're not saying you have to have chains. It's not implementing chain laws. They're
all
saying
right.
If you don't
now
have...
Now, what in the hell... Well, what I'm saying is, what in the hell good does it do to put a restriction on there and say, well, if you're, you know, if you're loaded, a tandem axle tractor loaded, you're not allowed to travel. You can travel as long as you've got chains on board. You don't have to have them on your wheels, but you have to have them. Well, okay. If you don't have to put them on, then why in the hell don't they let it? One of my question is, are they going to stop every truck? Every truck that's moving out there, are they going to check them and open doors and see if they're loaded or unloaded? Or are they going to weigh every one of them to see if they're lightly loaded?
No, they're not. But
they're idiots.
The Tier 2 and Tier 3, the way I'm understanding by reading it, it's stating that if they, you know, you can move if you're a tractor trailer, you can move if you have if you put chains on, basically. You know, like out in Colorado, they say from here to here, it's a chain law. You have to have chains or you don't go. But they're saying if, you know, if you have chains, if you put your chains on, then you can travel. But other than
I have run that state for 30-some years, and I have never had to put chains on a damn truck to get back and forth across there. And I've been everywhere there is to be in the state of Pennsylvania.
I know. But that's what I'm saying.
That's some bullshit.
Yeah.
Now, you see all them travel restrictions that they got on commercial vehicles and buses and everything over in Pennsylvania?
Yep.
How many do you see in Ohio? How many do you see in West Virginia? West Virginia's got just as many hills and mountains and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Worse or just as bad as Pennsylvania.
Yep.
West Virginia don't implement that bullshit.
Nope.
What about Kentucky? They get snow down there. Kentucky gets hammered down there with ice and shit. They don't shut the damn highways down. Pennsylvania are a bunch of assholes. But excuse me, it's the way it is. They're idiots over there. New York. Look at New York. Right up there in the snow bed, you know, the snow belt. It goes, what did it dump already this year? Almost 7 foot of snow on them?
Yeah.
They shut the road down, but it's because they had to. You couldn't move.
Right.
But they didn't. They didn't shut the highway down because they was, quote, unquote, expecting ice and snow to come through. It came through. It shut everybody down. But they didn't tell you can't move if you don't have chains on the truck. New York's got some hellacious hills and shit out there, too. You know, Pennsylvania thinks, I don't know. It's ridiculous. I don't know. It makes no sense.
Well,
it makes
even
no sense.
Another thing was, let me get to it here. Colorado, let's see. I lost it. Oh, there it is. Closures of every major road in the northeastern Colorado leaves truckers stranded. A blizzard in eastern Colorado prompted a closure of every major road in the northern part of the state on Tuesday, leaving truckers stranded. December 13th closures left truck drivers in the area with no choice but to shut down and wait it out. Interstate 70 and Interstate 76 were both closed down for more than 100 miles and nearly every other major roadway between Denver and Kansas were shut down as well. In Colorado, there were no other major interstates that directly connect Denver to the rest of the country, to the east and west, reported Channel 9 News. And sitting here, I'm not really making money, says driver Thomas Mack. He stopped at a gas station in Hudson, Colorado, that was full of drivers wishing they were on the road. If I can't keep my truck moving, that's how I, right. If I can keep the truck moving, that's how I can keep making the money. If you get delayed, that really sets your schedule back, says Isaac Couch, who also was stuck waiting for hours in a parking lot at Carl's Jr. Time is of the essence. When there are backups and delays and road closures, it really does set us back. You pretty much got I-70, 25, and 76. That's probably back ways. There's probably back ways in that I don't know about, but those roads are going to be closed longer than what the interstates will be, Matt continued. The safest thing to do is just wait and not take any chances or risk because it could get catastrophic, Couch said. It all comes down to Mother Nature. So they were closed down, you know, completely.
Again, I mean, I'm just speaking for myself, but years ago, the older drivers that's getting out, that's been out here for years and years, dealt with that. They dealt with the mountain passes. They dealt with the mountains. They've dealt with snow. They're not getting any more snow now than they've ever got. You know, that it ain't happening. They've always had record amounts of snow here and there. Look, go back through history and look. They was driving old trucks, and they managed to get around. Now they come out with all this new technology and all this bigger and better and more, you know, safety-minded trucks and where are they at? Now they got to shut them down because it comes down to training. The drivers are not being trained for adverse weather conditions before they put them in a truck and turn them loose on their own. They train them in the spring. They train them in the summer. They send them out with a trainer for 6 weeks, and they turn them loose, and it's still 80, 90 degrees outside. So when winter comes, now they're out here up in Montana, Wisconsin, you name it, where they're getting record amounts of snow and ice, and these new drivers have no idea what the hell to do with that truck when it starts getting icy and slick. They think, oh, it's big, it's heavy, it'll go. Yeah, it'll go, all right. Yeah. And that's all it is. I mean, that you can't call it nothing more than what I said. It's lack of training. It's lack of training. Because the years that I run Pennsylvania, I have never, until the last several years, I have never seen them put restrictions on that road like they have, them roads like they have here the last several years. It's unbelievable.
Every time it snows, they close it down, especially in our area up there.
It doesn't even have to snow. All they have to do is predict. They watch the weather, and if they're calling, you know, for 4 or 5 inches of snow or 4 inches of snow or snow of any sort, they just automatically put a travel ban on them.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it just... And because, too, that the damn drivers, well, hell, look at the salt trucks, the guys that they got out in the plows and stuff, they'll sit there in Pennsylvania, well, sit there in the middle and wait and wait and wait and wait and watch the snow keep piling up. And they, I don't know how it is anymore, but I know quite a few years ago that up there in Mercer, the superintendent up there, or the whatever of the state highway department up there, told PennDOT, don't worry about the roads until there is an accident and they start having problems, then go out and start working on them. And when the buses ain't running and there ain't no school, they don't worry about the damn roads.
Well, that's how it is
around here.
That's
been like a lot of states.
Yeah.
And that's bullshit, too. Because whether the kids is going to school or not, people are still paying taxes to get the roads clear so they can get to work, so they can get to the hospital, they can get to the grocery, wherever. That is their job, to clear the roads, salt the roads, treat the roads to the best of their ability. Not sit there and pay them to sit there in the media. How many times do you see a salt truck sitting there in the media? Roads got snow and stuff on them. They're sitting there in the media strip sleeping and getting paid to do it. Now, us as drivers, all right, we can't work but 14 hours in a day. But them guys was going out there, again, unless they've changed it, they can go out and work double shifts plowing and stuff, and there's no recourse against them. They go out plow around the clock if they want to for overtime. We're not allowed. Well, wait a minute. A truck is a truck. Weight is weight. Commercial vehicle doesn't make any difference. The only thing is that truck's owned by the state, though. That truck's owned by us, the taxpayers. The state don't own shit. That truck is owned by the taxpayers. We paid for them. We own them. We pay their wages. Get the hell off your dead ass and get out there and do your job. Now, that's the way it is.
Well, then. But it's true.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
Look at what they charge the trucks. Our 2290s, heavy highway use tax. We pay, each truck pays $550 a year to drive these trucks on the highway. We pay fuel tax that's out the ass compared to everybody else. So look at the price we're paying for fuel versus gasoline. Now, diesel fuel used to be cheaper than gas. Then it went up, it was higher than gas. Then it went up, it was like a dollar a gallon higher than gas. Okay, that was bad enough. Now, me and Jim was talking about, now the damn stuff is $2 and something higher than what gas is.
Right.
Well, it's supply and demand. Supply and demand. No, well, yes. Because you got double the amount of trucks out here that you used to have. And now they come out, started now GM and Ford and Chrysler, come out with their Dodge pickups and their Fords and their Chevys with their diesel engines. And a lot of the cars now is running diesel engines in them. So now, well, we'll make diesel engines. They're more economical. They get better fuel mileage. They last longer, you know. All right. So now they're burning diesel fuel. So now it's supply and demand. Now we got to jack the fuel prices up. What I want to know, they keep pushing these electric cars. I can't wait to see how that comes out. Because they're not going to get fuel tax, gas tax, and stuff off an electric car. So now they're worried about that. Now I heard them talking about it.
They'll figure out a way to do it.
So now they're, yes, and you know what they're talking about? Mileage-driven tax. They're going to start taxing it for every mile driven. Every mile that car runs, they're going to pay a tax on it. They tried it. They was trying to implement that on gas cars. Everybody, cars, trucks, everything, a mileage-driven tax. Yeah, well, they didn't get that through, but they're going to get it. They'll work at it until they get around it. But so if you're loaded or you're going to PA or you live in PA and you're trucking anything, you might as well forget about going to Pennsylvania until after this storm's over with.
Yeah, because you're not going to be able to get in anyway.
You can go as far as the state line. That's as far as you can go because there's going to be travel restrictions on everything. I wonder why, they start that chain law shit. Then I wonder why. Now, the next thing you're going to know, well, our roads just tore all to hell because of the tire chains on the trucks. The trucks are tearing the roads up because of having to run tire chains. Give me a break. You know what? You know what? Our No, never mind. I'll be quiet.
Really?
Our reason for getting around that, when the weather got bad and it started getting slick and snowy and icy out, you couldn't get around. I didn't worry about putting tire chains on. We just throwed another coil on the truck. Or a couple more on the truck.
Yeah, just a little bit more weight. You're good to go.
That's right. Just pile the iron on that damn thing or pile the weight on there and go. It didn't matter. Reapers, dump trucks, they all did it. You just throw more weight on there. Yeah, if you can't get around with 30, 40,000 in the damn on the trailer or something, just throw 50 or 60 in the box and on the trailer and go like hell. You know, it'll go. You get enough weight on there, it'll get traction.
Yep.
I don't know if it makes no sense to me. That's when you shut. Now they've got that stuff on every road, every state highway, or every federal state highway in that state. I think 283 in that. I was just down there yesterday. 283, 322, 376, 476, 80, 89, 99. There ain't no roads that you can run on.
Yeah, it's saying the entire length of 83, 283, 99, let's see, 84, 380. And now it's not at all the same times. They have them in different, you know, different times there. Wait a minute. No, let me take that back. Because it's starting at 1 a.m. It's 7 on tier 1, it's 79 from PA Turnpike to 80. I-80 from I-79 to exit 173 and I-70 from Maryland border or Maryland to PA Turnpike. And then, now this is all at 1 a.m. I-70, tier 2 is I-70 from I-79 to I-76. And then tier 3 is PA Turnpike from the new Stanton to Breezewood exits and the tire length of 99. At 6 a.m., tier 1 is I-81 from Maryland border to I-80. I-83 the entire length, I-283 the entire length, and at noon, tier 1 is I-81 from 380 to New York border, I-84 the entire length, I-380 the entire length, and I-476.
I don't understand why they're implementing them tiers at different times. They might as well just say shut down from this time to this time, no travel, because that's what they're trying to do.
Right.
They're talking that shit right there. Because it's getting everybody confused. There ain't no way that you can keep up with all them times, dates of times and everything on that, and them interstates and stuff. So now they've got it on there, so it's legal. But then when they catch somebody, and they'll say, well, I didn't know. Well, it was posted. Now you're getting a ticket. It's a money grab. That's all it is.
Well, just like a lot of that, the one at 1 a.m., wait a minute. When you look at, 1 a.m., it's further this way east, you know, or this far, this way, you know, our area, basically, this side of it.
Right.
And then, then it starts moving further east at 6 a.m. And then at noon, you know, even, you know. Yeah. I don't know.
I just don't. I don't know. It don't make any sense to me. Get out and treat the roads and start salting them. You know the shit's coming. While you're sitting there trying to figure out a way to put restrictions on the roads, you can be out treating the roads and get the trucks out there working, make sure the salt shakers and stuff to run in like you're supposed to, and you wouldn't have that problem.
Yep.
They don't want to pay, PennDOT don't want to pay the drivers to go out and salt, plow salt roads. You know, they don't want to pay all the overtime for them to have to work, so they'll just implement a travel restriction on there and give them time to just dilly-dally around and do absolutely nothing.
Right.
That's why I said you're paying tax. Your taxes go to pay for that salt, for them to clear them roads so you can travel, you know, and get from point A to point B. Yo, I mean, I can understand putting a restriction on the cars. I really can. God, who in the hell needs to be out there at 1 o'clock in the morning driving around a car unless you're going to the hospital?
Exactly.
Or, you know, I mean, you have no business out there late at night like that in a car. I don't give a damn. I don't care. But in the same sense of trucks, they need to go. There's stuff on them trucks that, you know, they have to go through that state to get to New York, get to Jersey, up into New England, you know.
Right.
It's crazy. They shut that state down like that. You can't get from, and they know it. I don't care. I don't care what they do. That's why I don't like going over there. I just, hell with that place. I don't give a shit. That whole sumbitch in the East Coast could break off right there at the Ohio line and float out the damn Atlantic. Take Delaware, Maryland, all that bullshit. Take it with them. Go. Same way out west, California. Go. Idaho. All of them.
Yeah. You can knock Arizona in on that too, right?
I don't know. Arizona,
there's maybe parts of Arizona we can keep only because there's one particular person there.
Yeah, I don't know. He might not even be there. That's a little California.
Oh, Lord. So has the rain let up or is it still raining?
Nah, it's drizzling. Huh. Just sprinkling, drizzling off and on. Oh, it'll probably get slicker to cat's ass out here in a little bit because I'm empty and going home.
Yep.
I don't care. I ain't scared.
I know.
Bring it.
You were just trying to say something to get me to hit one, weren't you?
Yep. You know it.
I'll give a shit if you hit one or not. Bubba, I can talk about you while you're on the radio just the same as I can if you're listening.
Yeah, I know you don't care. Hey, I should have took a picture of it. I had ice on my windshield this morning.
What?
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't. It was
you
about 80 degrees
in
here.
Yeah, there was ice on the windshield. I had to wait a couple minutes for a trucker warm up and start to thaw on the windshield so I could drive.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, tonight's supposed to be 33.
Oh. Poor baby.
That's sweatshirt weather.
High of 55 during the day. That's tomorrow.
Well, it's 37 here right now, and it's only supposed to get high as 39 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's 38 right here in Warsaw, Indiana right now. I'm going through Warsaw. It's 38 degrees here. Yeah, it's just like I was supposed to take that truck or trailer over to Merlot tomorrow. How the hell am I going to do that to get all the roads closed?
I guess you're not working tomorrow.
Well, I know I ain't working tomorrow. I got to take the trailer over to Merlot, drop it off. I tore it up.
I was going to say, does he even know?
No, not unless he's
no,
heard
I haven't
us
talked
about
him.
It.
No, he wasn't on the radio when we heard it.
No, I took him Lee's. I'm too Lee's. I brought out of Pennsylvania. I took him up Chicago, up there to Otasco, Illinois. Went to back of the damn door up there. The door was only about 6 inches wider than the trailer on each side. I had to back inside the door, inside the building, and then jack it like at a 45-degree angle inside the building to get up, try to get up under, partly under the crane with all the shit they had sitting around so they could lift them Lee's off, $10,000 apiece.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to get in there and start backing in, and the door was like at an angle, too, and there was a wall outside, so I had to watch my hood and fenders on it. And the two guys that was supposed to be helping watch, my fault, like I told Tim, I own it. I'm the captain of your ship. I should have got out and looked for myself. He kept saying, come on back, crunch. About 5 foot back, four foot, 5 foot back on my trailer on the passenger side, hit one of them uprights against the side of the building on that wall right there by the door. Busted all the rollers in that one upright and split my tarp right up one of them uprights clear to the top.
No, shit.
So now I'm about $1,200-$1,500 in the damn hole. So I pushed it all up. They unloaded it. I muttered some foul language to myself running around there. And
oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
I didn't get loud with them because it don't do any good, but I got done. I pulled up inside the building. I stayed the building. He said, well, I said, where can I park? Get this thing straightened out. He said, just right here where you're at. He said, there ain't nobody coming in here. He said, you're the only one that was going to be coming in. I said, yeah, thank God. So I pushed it all up, got it all packed up in the front, put 2-inch straps or stuff around it, strapped it all up best I could. I got it to where the wind ain't whipping on it and blowing it. So I got it all rolled up on the front, strapped up, so I'm on my way home. So I was telling Tim, I said, it turned out to be a real profitable trip.
Oh, yeah, it sounds
like it. $1,500 to fix a damn trailer, 420-some-mile or 450-mile deadhead back from, might as well say, Elk Grove Village, Illinois, back to the house, 400 anyhow, or 420. Then I got to take it over to Verona, PA, over by Pittsburgh, South Pittsburgh, North Pittsburgh, whatever, on 28. I take the trailer over there, drop it off, and then bobtail home, and then go back over when they get it fixed to pick it up, which probably ain't going to be till probably first of the year, after the first of the year.
Oh, yeah,
he's gonna
probably.
He's going to try to see if he can get it worked in next week or, but he said he doubts it. He said it's probably going to be the first of the year before he can get to it. But he said, Greg, I'll try to do what I can do. I said, hey, that's all you can do, Jim. So I don't give a shit. I'll just take a vacation till first year. Screw it.
It sounds like it.
Maybe we can get some snow. I'll go sled riding out back in the backyard.
Take your grandson with
That's
you.
Funny.
I'll get the
That's
tractor
funny.
Started.
I don't see
I'll,
that
I'll,
happening.
I'll ride the sled down over the hill in the backyard out in Elizabeth Street and then Tiff can take the tractor and pull me back up by the garden. I can do it again.
Yeah, right.
Because I tell you now, my fat ass ain't walking and dragging that sled back up through there.
Well, now, that would be a show.
What?
You walking back up.
Ain't going to be no show because you ain't going to ever see me doing it. So Paul Harvey would say, now you know the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Hey, the thing with the chicken wing, Robbie. So I got to go over that trailer. I ain't even mad over it. Yeah, I screwed it up. All right. And that's going to cost me, but I ain't even mad over it. I can't even get mad over it because it's my own fault. You know, it's a hard lesson learned. It's a learning. It was a lesson learned.
Yeah, don't
pay more attention. You know, it's like everybody, when something happens, they want to blame everybody but where the blame's supposed to be. I can't blame anybody for my stupidity. I did it. It's my truck, my trailer. I'm the one driving it. If I can't do my job, then I can't blame them because I hit some toward my trailer. I can't do it. I own it. All right? Now, if more people could do that, you'd be better off. Just like when they run over somebody's hood in the parking lot. They try to take off or they try, I didn't hit you. I didn't hit it. Yeah, you did. Just own it. I did it. That's why you pay insurance. The only thing is, too many of them and your insurance company don't, they get mad at you. Just like his here. Yeah, I could probably call insurance and turn it into insurance because I was loaded. So I could turn it into B-Max insurance, but I won't because it's not worth it. But first of all, that's the reason insurance rates go up. And then now I've got to fill out a damn report on it if I do that. So now I got to fill out an accident report. And now that goes on my record in their office. So now I've got an accident report showing on there, even though I didn't get charged with nothing. It shows that I had an incident report filed because their insurance had to pay out a claim on me. So now that's a mark against me. No, we ain't going there. No, my driving record's clean. I'm going to keep it like that. So, whatever, you know? Whatever. So, matter what happens, either I drop this tomorrow or I'll drop it Friday. It depends on what the weather's like in the morning or tomorrow, how bad the charges are.
Right.
About the travel restrictions over there. If it's screwed up, then I'll just wait, take it over Friday. It don't matter to me. I don't give a damn. But, you know, like I said, we'll check with them and see if they got an agent that's doing any van freight that ain't going all stupid, ungodly out somewhere and cheaper than hell, then I'll just go up and get an inspection on the trailer, get the trailer federal inspected, and lease it on, lease the drive van on, and I'll use it for a couple, 3 weeks until they get my trailer fixed. Then
right.
I'll park it back over and let it eat grass again for a while.
You sure you know how to run that trailer?
Well, I was just getting ready to say, you know, Ace told me in order to start pulling flatbed again, I was going to have to go through a refresher course, you know, and so because I haven't pulled flat for so long, so I'm thinking now I might have to go and take a course or something, go through a refresher course so I can go back to swinging doors.
You might.
Damn, I didn't tear up as much shit with that 53-footer as I did this damn little 45-foot piece of shit. Shut up. Don't even snicker.
I was trying to keep from it, but, you know, maybe I should have muted my mic before I started snickering, huh?
You think?
You're the one that said it. I just, you know. Yeah.
Well, it's the truth, though. I mean, hey. One thing I've learned to do with age comes wisdom. And with age, I've learned the older I get, you know, it's a whole lot easier to just admit when you do something stupid, admit when you're wrong, than it is to just deny it.
Because
what the hell you gonna do? Once it's done, it's done, it's done. You can't change it, so why, you know, why deny it? Yeah, I did it. Everybody wants to blame everybody else or blame everything else, you know, for, no, don't. Just own it and go on. By the way, it's saying I'll be in the house probably about 1:30. What are you having for dinner?
I had some tortellini.
I didn't ask what you had. I said, what are we having for dinner?
I don't know what you're having.
And if you think, I know what you're thinking. I don't give a damn what you have, because at 1:30 in the morning, I'm going to be in bed sleeping. No, you ain't. Because usually I try to sneak in the house real quiet, and I yell at the dogs when they start barking. Oh, no, not in the morning. I'm going to come in there carrying on and banging around.
Just remember, I'm going to have every intruder.
I'm going to have every cat and dog in the house up.
Like I said, just remember, I may think you're an intruder, and I can use that and say, my house was being broken.
Uh-huh.
It was dark.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't see.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you could.
No,
it was dark.
I didn't have my glasses. They were on the table, and I didn't get to my glasses. And yeah.
I'm not worried too much about that, Robbie, because her with that pistol is about like dealing with one of Ohio State cops or one of these state cops with a pistol. The safest place to be, is right directly in front of them because they'll miss you every time. And the reason I say that, right out here on 76, over here in Ohio, if you leave Youngstown, start out across 76 before you get to Akron, them two rest areas out there, the one on the eastbound side, back, I'm thinking it was back in the 90s. I can't remember. It's been a long time ago. They got in a high-speed chase with a van. I think it was a van, a white van. All right, the police were chasing him. He pulled in there at that rest area, jumped out. They got in a gunfight with this guy in this van. These state cops, two or three of them, emptied them handguns. And
wow.
Never hit the freaking van. That, no shit. They never touched the van. They emptied their revolvers or their pistols and never hit the van. Now, how are you going to shoot somebody when you can't even hit a car? Now, give me a break. So that's the way she is. You know, stand right in front of her and you'll never get hit.
Really? Do you want to try that?
No.
Because
don't
remember?
You need a shotgun set in the corner. I'm good.
I was going to say, wait a minute. I don't care if you're in front of me or not. That buckshot's going to hit your fucking ass.
Watch your language. Just as a family-oriented state channel.
Uh-huh. And we have two people, and nobody's downloaded and listened to shit. So I don't really care.
By the way, speaking of family-oriented shit, I had a conversation today for about an hour and a half with my buddy Taylor.
What?
I called him today. Just see if he'd answer the phone, Taylor. Parker. We bullshitted on the phone for about an hour and a half today. Now, we talked about a little bit of this, a little bit of that, his family and my family. And
please don't
he
tell
said,
me
you
you're
sure
related,
we ain't related?
Please.
I said, yeah, we could be. But anyhow, he asked me if we was going to MAPS this year. I said, Taylor, I don't think there's any chance in hell me going to MAPS this year.
Oh, yes, there
is. I said, after the horse shit that Toby has pulled on us, you know what he told me? He hasn't even scheduled any singing events for this year yet.
Well, I got the thing where, you know, registration's open.
Yeah.
Usually they don't open a registration until January.
I don't give a shit what they open. I ain't going.
Oh, no, I thought, you know, well, there's no reason why we couldn't go. And literally go down there. And go down there and
go down,
be the,
go down
the
there
only
and
thing
actually,
that,
like, actually do
like
it.
We were
not do
in the
a
old
truck
day.
Show.
The only thing
go
that I would like to do.
And walk through the whole thing.
Yeah,
we could be down there as a group. We'll be in a group. A group walking through the whole darn thing.
I would like to go down there, take this truck, and put a Reese hitch on the back of the frame. Talk to Marie, take that little enclosed trailer, put redneck and I stickers and shit all over the side of it, you know, group it up. Believe it or not, hook it to the back of this truck, take it down there, park it right there where we always park somewhere.
Yeah.
And like I told Taylor and I was talking about it, and I said, you know, just put a couple roasters or something up in the front of it, take that other shit down the side, put it up the front just so we can have some, you know, a place up in the front to get your food and stuff, and use the rest of it back to there for just seating. And then just let, you know, like Taylor and Cherie and me and you and Robbie if he goes and whoever, and just go in there and sit around and bullshit, drink, and have a good time. And like I told Taylor, I said, then when everybody starts coming up wanting to know what we're doing, we ain't doing nothing. We're not doing nothing, Taylor. Just tell them, we're not doing nothing. And when they want to know why, I say, go ask show management. We told you last year we couldn't do nothing. Take it to show management. You want to know what's going on? Take it to show management. But as long as, see, last year, a lot of them that usually comes over didn't come over. Some of them did because they knew us, you know, our faces. But a lot of them didn't come over because they didn't see a redneck and his flag. They didn't see all the flags. They didn't see anything redneck and his out. We didn't have nothing out. The trailer was all black, you know, other than the decals on the side of the trucks. That's why they're redneck and his. And if you wasn't paying attention to the trucks, you didn't even notice that.
Well, and plus the thing
so
was,
that's
we
why
weren't
a lot
the,
of people didn't come over.
We weren't in the same spot either last year.
Right.
And that made a big difference because we weren't where we always were.
No, because what was the reason we didn't get where we was at? Somebody was already there.
No, there was dumpsters there. That's where they put the dumpsters. But just like you know, we could go down there.
Well, they did that. That's right. They did that out of spite.
Who knows? But I thought about it when I seen the registration. I think, you know what? What better way to stick it to them is by still going and, you know, taking the trailer. And even okay, putting a couple roasters up front. But even if we take a 10 by 20, one of those little pop-up tents.
Yes, get back to our roots.
And sit outside the trailer. And we can have our food in the trailer if it's cold, then we can go in there. But, you know, sit outside like we used to. And people come up and talk
right.
and BS and not have, because most of the time, honestly, don't get me wrong, I loved all the people coming over and all of us hanging out and meeting all these people. But most of the time, they just came over because they got free stuff.
All right. You know what Taylor told me today?
What?
Trucker Tax Tools.
Yeah.
That Trucker Tax Tools, I guess.
Dave Solves.
Toby. Huh?
Dave Solves.
Yep. Toby shut them down, too.
Why?
He ain't allowed, they ain't allowed to have no singers over there, no entertainment over there at their booth in the show. No, and if they do, they have to turn the speakers around facing in toward them. They're not allowed to. But Trucker Tax Tools aren't allowed to have anybody over there singing now. So Taylor said he's out there. And he also said that Red Eye Radio, they did the same thing to them, told them if you have anybody singing, you got to turn the speakers around facing in. You can't have the music going out into the audience because they had a problem. Taylor said there was like 100 people or something standing around watching him when he was there at Trucker Tax Tools. And that's what got started because I guess he said that the word was that people, they was getting complaints about that they couldn't get through, they couldn't get past the booth because so many people standing there watching them. Again, it don't fit Toby's narrative, so he's got to shut it down. Now, that's what he told me.
Well, he had
no reason
to lie about it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But, you know, that's what Taylor told me. Now, and he also, we got an invite, any of us, that anytime we get down around Kingsport, give him a call, and if he's around, he said, I'll come out somewhere and pick you up, or we'll figure out where you go to park, and he said, you can come to the house for a while, or we'll go do something. I said, well, hold that thought. He said, why? I said, because this summer, I said, I'm thinking about a road trip. I said, it ain't going to be in a damn truck either. Maybe a pickup. So I don't know what's going on with that yet. But, yeah, we was on the phone for an hour and a half today talking. And he said that, you know, I told him, you know, we were still working on the show, maybe a show up there in Canfield.
Yeah.
He said, man, that's great. I said, but the only thing is, I said, it ain't going to happen. I said, until probably 2024. I said, for the simple fact, we don't want to go into it half-cocked. I said, we want to try to pre-plan it. So, and he said, that's a good idea. He said, there's nothing wrong with that. He said, that would be the way to do it. He said, well, if you do, he said, sign me up.
He's already
on
my list.
That's what I told him. I said, you know you're always on there. He said, okay. He said, well, you know, I said, I don't know, you know, money-wise, I don't know what's going on. Taylor said, hey, anything I can do for you guys, he said, you know I'll do it. He said, I'm in it. He said, just let me know. Give me the word. I'm there. I told him, I said, Mill Hall next year. I said, we will be back at Mill Hall again next year. I guarantee you. I said, Taylor, you missed out on a good hit there. I said, that was a good hit. That was a good little show up there. I said, it's just for the drivers. There are none of the manufacturers, none of the big wigs up there. It's all truckers. That's it. Truck drivers and the public, you know, and everything. But I said, that's what a truck show is supposed to be about.
Yep.
So, anyhow, that's what he's planning on. So, I'm thinking next year he's probably going to be at Mill Hall, too.
Yeah, he missed a good show.
He said, no. Yep, I told him. He said, Mill Hall. What one was that? I said,
Truckers for Hope.
Truckers for Hope. Yeah, that's what I told him. I said, Truckers for Hope out there. I said, that was a good. I said, now, we was told that we could come out there and do whatever we wanted. You know, if we wanted to do anything, Redneck, we could do anything we wanted out there. But I said we kind of didn't because we went out, we tried to feel our way around a little bit because I said, you know, you don't want to, we don't want to step on toes, Taylor. I says, and that was Jason that started that show. That was his show. And I didn't want to, we didn't want to go out there and just, you know, set up like we usually do and everything, you know. I said, we didn't feel right about doing it. He said, you should have did it if he told you. I said, yeah, well, next year, maybe. This year, we went out just to see what it was about.
Because there's that, because those people that do that breakfast, from what Jason told me, that we could do stuff like that.
Right.
You know. Because they charge, what, $5 for a meal, and you didn't get to pick or choose. They dished it out, and that's what you got.
Right. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, and they did breakfast only. So if we would do the same type of concept, but do, you know, just...
Or like lunch or dinner.
Yeah. You know, do a dinner,
because up there, we can charge.
Yeah.
You know, we're allowed to charge up there. You wasn't allowed to charge down in Louisville. It had to be donation only.
Right.
Well, up here, you could charge. So, fine. So you charge them so much for their dinner, and then you make it, you know, a decent price, but then you take a portion of that money raised. All right, we put it in our fund, but you take a portion of that and you give it to Truckers for Hope.
Well, that's what, from what Jason told me, that's what they do. They take a half of whatever the profit is, you know, because...
And donate it to them, to Truckers for Hope.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's good. I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah.
Because that goes, I forget what that was.
That was
that disease,
Hope
whatever.
For Hayes. That one, Hope for Hayes for, I can't remember what, I'd have to look it up. See, you got me wondering now.
Yeah, I can't remember what kind of disease he had or whatever, but I'm good with that because it goes to help not just him, but all kids with that, you know, and I'm fine with that. But I tell you what, I won't be taking next year, and that's that motorhome.
It's not a home of mine. It was fine. Just make sure there's gas in it. We're good.
Yeah, you just gotta make sure there's gas in it.
Well, we have to take the group trailer, too. How are we going to do that? I'll take it with this. I can get better fuel mileage with this than you can get with that camper and pulling the trailer.
Because the camper was nice because with the dogs and there was actually room to, you know.
Right.
So it was nice to have that.
Well, that's fine. We can take the motorhome next year. If Taylor's going to be up there, him and Sheree's going to be up there, we could take it.
Uh-huh.
Because then we can, I don't know, we can figure something out. Because there ain't no motels around here anywhere close.
No.
I mean, what we could do is in the front of that trailer, you know, up in the front of it, we need to put a bed up in the front of it. And then we could put like a partition off or whatever to block that off during the day when we're cooking in the back, toward the back.
Uh-huh.
And that way, at night, we can take a generator or something. We could put heat in there, you know, put a little heater in there at night so it stays warm and put a nice full-size bed in there. And somebody could sleep in there, just like we did out there at Millersburg.
Right.
Yeah, like Taylor or whoever.
Truckers for Hope benefits cystic fibrosis research.
Yeah, that's it.
And Hope
cystic
for Hayes.
Fibrosis. Right. All right. But we could either do that or we could take the shit that we need, just the stuff that we need for the show, and we got that stinking golf cart, too. I was going to say, we can load everything.
We'll just get Dad to get his bus fixed and ready to go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Right, okay. Yeah, okay.
We have a year. Because the 2023 show is September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th.
I got an idea. How about we sell the dry van, take the money that we get out of the...
And
sell that stinking motorhome and sell the dry van and take the money we get out of both of them and go buy our own bus.
Yeah.
Just like that one I looked at that I showed you.
Yeah.
They had one on there for like $10,000. It was a Silver Eagle, 1969 Silver Eagle, Robbie, already done up. Already done up into a motor coach, into a camper, a big bus like a Greyhound. Beautiful,
it was
man.
Nice.
It needed some cosmetic work inside. You know, I mean, but it's a 69 model. Had an old 8B92 Detroit, turbo Detroit in it, V8 Detroit in it. A nice old bus. That one her dad's got runs good, man. I think starts and runs, man. It runs like a brand new one, but it needs a lot of work. Airbags and tires and I don't know what all it needs. It needs a bunch of shit done to it. I don't want one that I got to work on. I want one just turnkey go. It don't
no,
really have
working
to be
on
quite
it.
That.
Is it,
yeah,
a
it don't have
like,
to be quite
like
that
bus.
Big.
Or is it like a boat? A motorhome is just like a boat.
Just a hole to throw money.
Yep.
I mean, don't get me wrong. That little motorhome runs good, man. That one ours, that I can't say anything. That thing runs good.
Yes, it does.
I mean, it runs right along. I've never been a Ford fan, by no means. But that 460 and that thing, that Ford Econoline, that thing runs, I mean, pristine.
Yeah, because I set the cruise at 65, between 65 and 68, and never had a problem.
And that's where it runs. Now, but the only thing I got against it is the fuel mileage. And we're thinking, her dad and I was talking about it, we're thinking about, I've got to crawl underneath of it this spring, because we got plenty of time. We'll crawl under it this spring and check the rear end gears in it and see what that thing's got for rear end gears.
No.
Because it's got plenty of power.
Oh, yeah.
So we're thinking about putting some higher rear end gears in it, changing the ratio in the rear end on it. So if
yeah,
we do
that's,
that,
that's
we might be, able,
to
might be able to get hot.
That ain't hard to do.
No, so we might be able to get some, you know, get better gas mileage out of it if I change rear end gear center.
Yeah,
so
it won't
get
too far.
I need a skinny little boy from Arizona to come up here to get under it to work on it.
That ain't going to happen.
Seriously?
I'm on the radio show.
Huh?
Oh, Penny just showed up.
Oh.
Penny just got home.
Did you take her out for her birthday and spoil her?
Hey, you tell her my check still ain't got here.
Oh, her check hasn't got there yet? It must be lost in the mail or something.
Her check hasn't got to me yet. I'm still waiting for that child support.
Bad thing is, he went home now.
She just walked into the bathroom. She has like a 45-minute drive, so. I'll tell her in a
minute.
A 5-minute
drive?
We're going to.
45.
No, 45.
Oh.
It's like going up to Mercer every day. From your place.
Shit, that ain't nothing but a small stepper, a big stepper.
Yeah. I was working on my dad's car all day. It was Nova.
No. Well.
All righty, guys. I'm going to get off here.
All right.
All righty, Robbie.
Talk to you guys later.
All right. Talk to you later, Robbie. Be careful.
Bye. Bye.
All right. Anybody else listen?
No, it was just the three of us. Started out just the two of us, and then Robbie called in.
All right. Because Taylor and I got to talking a little bit about it today, too.
No, stop right there.
And it still has a talk lane.
Okay. He's not going to.
No. That's what I told Taylor. Taylor said, you know, I like it. But he says, I don't know. I said, I said, I like it too. But I said, I'm just a little disappointed in the way he did that. I said, we've had words over it. I said, but it don't do no good. But I said, just like the radio show, Taylor. I said, we're shutting it down at the end of, you know, beginning of the year. I said, when the subscription comes up again, we're not renewing it. I said, because I don't see any point in it, because you don't get anybody calling. Don't get anybody listening. I said, then he says he's going to, you know, he was doing a Sunday show. Well, that ain't working because everybody's at home and nobody wants to call in and listen on Sunday because everybody's at home doing their thing. So I think I can do better by having it every evening, an hour every evening, 7 to 8. He said, yeah. I said, okay, that would be fine if you do it. But I said, he'll do it one day. Then the next day he don't because he's got a bike ride or he wants to go out with his girlfriend or whatever. And I said, I get it. I'm good with that. Okay. But you're either going to do it or you ain't going to do it. I said, and then I said, just like yesterday, I said, I called in yesterday, last night, to see, I said, like a 6:45 or whatever it was, or day before, whatever it was. I said, 6:45, show schedule for the next 24 hours. I said, I called in right at 7 o'clock, still no show. I called in like 5 after. I checked it again about 5 after or so. Still nothing. I said, so I said, to hell with it. I never called back again. I said, Tiff told me that he did schedule one, but he didn't schedule it. He didn't schedule it until 6:45. He started the show at 6:45 and couldn't shut it down. I said, now what the hell? I said, what in the hell was the sense in that? Why start it at 6:45? You supposed to start at 7 o'clock, start it at 7 o'clock, or don't do it at all. I said, that's why half the time I don't even call in anymore because I got tired of playing phone tag. Every time you call in, he ain't having that. He ain't having the show. Or, oh, I got a, you know, no, a poker run or, you know, a bike ride or you got something going on with a bike. Well, then go play with your motorcycles and forget about the radio show. You know, that's just the way I am. So... But, yeah, him and I talked for about an hour, about an hour and a half. And he answered the phone. I called him. He answered the phone. He said, hey. I said, yeah. I said, I just wanted to call and tell you I still love you, whether you love me or not. He started busting up laughing.
Yeah.
He said, yeah. He said, I need to call you. He said, I'm bad for that. He said, I need to call you more often. He said, I don't. I get sidetracked. I said, I know. I said, that phone works both ways. I said, I don't call you either. I said, well, I figured you called me the last time, so I figured you had a case of red ass with me, so you was going to hold off and see how long it took me to call you. I said, well, now I called you. So, tag, you're it. So, next one's on you. He started laughing. He said, all right. He said, I can do that. But he said, anytime you and Tiff or whatever is down around there or you want to come down, whatever, just call me. Make sure I'm around. I'm at home or around. And he said, I'll be there. He said, we'll do so. And by the way, Friday. Yeah, he's going.
You're breaking up, honey.
Huh?
You were breaking up. I didn't hear what you said.
Friday, Taylor is going to be coming through Hubbard Friday.
Okay.
He was out east. Same time I was yesterday. He
really?
Was out in there somewhere. I said, well, I told him, I said, I just left out there by Lancaster. I said, I come up out of South Carolina. He was down in Charleston.
Oh, geez.
But he was down there like the day before me or something like that. He said, well, he said, I've been chasing you all week. Because I said, I was down in Charleston Monday morning, or unloaded down there at Huger by Charleston Monday morning. I said, then I come up to Statesville Monday at about noon and loaded. And then I said, I delivered up Lancaster Tuesday morning. Yesterday morning, I said, I delivered up Lancaster, up by Lancaster, Leola, up by Lidditz and all that. I said, I unloaded there and reloaded. And then I went down the road about 20 mile and reloaded another piece. And then I said, now I'm on my way out to Chicago this morning, or today when I talked to him. I said, I got to go out here and unload out here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I said, tentatively load a load back home for Friday, and I'll be done. And he said, man, I've been chasing you. He said, brother, I've been chasing you all week. He said, I've been one step behind you all week.
Now, how long is he going to be up there in Hubbard?
I don't know. I told him Friday. I said, give me a call, or I'll call him Friday morning sometime to see what time he's going to be coming through there. And if he's going to be coming through there, and he's got, you know, a couple hours or whatever to waste or whatever, or an hour or so, we'll maybe run up. I thought we'll run up, meet him up there at Truck World. And if he wants to eat there, or we'll jump in the car, we can go somewhere and find a restaurant or somewhere and get something to eat. And, you know, shoot the shit with him a little bit, and then we can, you know, he can go on his way.
Yeah, that place down there. Where we
probably,
go to? Down around 62, that little place. That little place down around 62. 62,
82. Well, up Brookfield Diner.
Yeah.
Oh, up there where Jim, up there by Jim and him.
Yeah.
Where we went and had our fries. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not bad. And do that, or we could run down to Quaker Steak.
And this is true too.
No, it ain't that far to grab him right there at Truck World. Grab him there at Truck World and run up over the hill right down into town. Go to Quaker Steak.
Yeah. Just remember, Friday we'll have a little one.
That's fine. Don't matter. We don't want to drink.
No.
He can't drink anyhow driving.
Right. I know that.
I'm go up there and get a decent meal.
Yep.
Anyway. Well, everything's looking good so far that I can see in the light.
Yeah.
So I've been running about 55, 60 with it out across there, and it's been doing all right. So I think I'm going to do it I might have to, worst come to worst, on the way down, way over to Pittsburgh, if nothing else, see what kind of fuel I'm dealing with time I get home.
Yeah.
I might have to put, you know, 30 or 40 gallon fuel in this fucking thing to go to Pittsburgh and back. Take this trailer over there. I ain't getting no fuel mileage tonight. Fuel mileage coming out here empty. You know, the wind is bad tonight.
Oh, I know. It was bad around here, too.
I'm getting 6.9, it's best I can do. And I'm empty and got the tarp rolled up, so flat's empty. And
yeah.
I'm only getting 6.9. Coming out here today, I got 7.3 again. Going
nice.
Out of Chicago. And now I can't get 6.9 empty.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I just want to get this thing home without tearing anything else up. I don't know. Called Donnie, said if he got loaded, got on his way. He said, yeah. He said, where you at? He said, you loading tomorrow? I said, well, I was, but I ain't now. He said, what? I said, well, I had loads set up out of East Chicago, three rolls coming back to Midwest. And I said, but I said, I ain't getting them now. I said, I'm on my way home empty. He said, why? What happened? I said, tore my trailer up. He said, you're shitting me. I said, no. He said, I ripped the tarp, split the tarp from top to the bottom, and crushed them rollers on that one out upright. He said, no shit. I said, yeah. He asked what happened. I told him. I said, that's my fault. I said, I can't blame him. It was my fault. I should have looked. So I said, coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's done.
He said,
but man, he said, that sucks. I said, well, I know it sucks, but what are you going to do? Yeah, he sat around and cried, bitch, and whined, moaned, and groaned about it, but the problem's there. It's done. It's over with. Fucking, it is what it is. So, I don't know. But anyhow, Bree sounded like shit on the phone, man.
Oh, did she?
Oh, yeah, she sounds bad. She ain't feeling good at all. She said she's thinking about trying to go into work tomorrow. I heard her laugh, and I said, hey, I said, you still sick? I said, you still ain't feeling good? She said, no. I said, let me ask you something. She said, what? I said, you got your mask on? I ain't wearing that fucking mask, Greg. I said, Marie, I said, if you're talking to me on the phone, I said, I want you to put a mask on. I don't want that chick coming through the phone. I don't need it. She said, well, you quit. She said, you don't ever stop. She started laughing. But, well, yeah, she said she thinks she's going to try maybe go ahead and work tomorrow. She said, depends on how she feels when she gets up in the morning.
Yeah.
I said, well, if you don't feel good, don't go in.
Mm, just like that, she can do pretty much everything right here from home.
Yeah. Yeah, she got access to the same to the computers and everything, so she can watch what's going on from the house.
Yep.
If she feels like it. I know, GPS, I know.
What?
So bitch. GPS keeps trying to get me to stop, take a break. Tied into with that e-log shit.
Yeah.
And you get over 11 hours, it keeps coming up with an orange caution thing. It says, break is required now, or break required soon, whatever. You should take a break in 1 hour. Ah, screw that. Let's say, saying 293 miles to the house, but it also is trying to route me over to Mansfield, up 71 to 76 to 80 to 11 and back down to the house. Now, why would it do that?
It does
it every time. So it'll cut off probably, shit, 100 miles? Well, it's 35 or 40 miles from 30 over at Mansfield up to 76. And then I think it's 50 or 60 miles over to Youngstown. And then 35 or 40 miles down to the house.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a little over 100 miles it'll cut off going across 30. So, basically, 292, I ain't got but about 200 miles to go. I'm getting ready to Bennett, drive with us. Big old light-up billboards right here at Fort Wayne.
Oh.
Yeah, big old Bennett side. But anyhow, yeah, it's fuck you, car. I'm coming over, you son of a bitch. You don't see my fucking turn signal, you asshole. Fucking dickhead. Fucking car. Somebody's sitting right there looking at my fucking turn signal. It kept itching up right up beside me. I put his ass on his fucking shoulder. Then he hit the fucking brakes and slowed down. Fucking dickhead. Lights blinking all over that fucking trailer. I guess they're blinking. Maybe the fucking turn signal ain't working. I don't know. Fucking jackass. Now go, you son of a bitch. I'll be a fucking idiot. Fucking dick.
Well, then.
Fucking asshole. I'm sorry about that big truck. I was trying to get over that damn car, man. He'd want to act like an idiot, got right beside me, and that damn thing, I couldn't push him over. Fucking asshole. People drive like fucking idiots, man. I mean, it's just unbelievable. They act like they're the only fucking ones on the road.
True.
thing I can figure, the only reason that he wouldn't have backed out of it is if that turn signal wasn't, right turn signal wasn't working back there, and it was. I've been having trouble with him. I don't know what the hell is going on with that plug. It acts like I've spread the prongs and everything else on it. I don't know what the hell is going on with it. It's got brand new plug in the trailer, brand new plug, you know, that light cord ain't that old on here.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell is going on with it. Acts like it's losing the ground right there on the plug. I don't know, but it's just a turn signal, so that it's affecting. Tail lights, sparker lights, brake lights, everything works. It's just two turn signals. Every time you turn around, one or the other of them ain't working on the trailer. You wiggle the plug and it starts working. And
huh.
I've spread all the prongs, done everything. I don't know. It'll work and then it won't work. Wiggle the plug and it'll start working. I don't know. I have to pull it out and change it. It's one of the plugs that I got from Iowa 80. I got another new one somewhere. I don't know where the hell it's at. I had two. I got two of them. Thinking it's either back here under the bunk in that tub or up there in one of the cubby holes. I don't know. Shit, I can't keep track of nothing. Oh, shit. Okay. Well, it's 9 o'clock. Ain't nobody calling, so.
No. Nope.
I'll shut it down.
Oh, yeah. See, I always set mine for 2 hours because just in case, you know, you and Robbie call in and then, you know,
because
then you're BS and stuff like that. And...
See, that's what I'm saying. Cheryl don't call. Holly don't call. Nobody calls.
Well, Cheryl's at the
and
hospital.
All
her daughter
know.
Just had a grandbaby, so
she's in
you know, grandma stage, which I'm okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay too. Holly always makes her a good show when she calls in.
Yep.
But
and I posted
just don't
it.
Call in enough.
I posted it on our Facebook page. I posted it on our you know, app. And the only person that looked at it on our, you know, Redneck and I's messaging board on Facebook was Robbie.
Oh.
So.
Jeff used to call. He don't even call. Of course, I think he's been at home, I think. I just got thinking that one panel back here was, I don't know how much it was. This in here, he told me, he said, it's number 2 panel, right? And I said, yeah. He said, so that's the one with the window in the top, skylight. I said, yep, I believe so. He said, oh, so that'll make that panel cost more.
Oh, yeah, because they have to add the skylight back to it. Yeah, because they have to add the skylight back to it.
Yeah, well, you have to put, they have to cut a hole out in the black tarp and put a piece of white in there to make the skylight. Unless I tell him, don't even worry about the skylight, just put a piece of black tarp on there and be done with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you work up in there closed up very often.
No. Really, what I need to do, what I've been wanting to do, is get a couple LED lights, you know, put lights in the back of it.
Yeah.
Just wire a couple lights up back there and put a switch in there, so when you open the door, reach up in there and flip the switch on, you got light lights all the way back through there.
Yeah.
But lights in there, you don't need fucking skylight.
Right.
That might be what I do. Just trying to just forget about the damn light, just a skylight. Just put a plain black top panel in there.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah, like you said, I don't do enough up in there at night. You know, in the dark. And at night, when you get up in there, unless you're sitting right under a street light, it don't do any good anyhow.
Right. This is true.
During the day, you know, when I'm loading or unloading, I've always got the damn thing open.
Yeah.
Now I open it up before I take my change of shit off. The only thing I do is, like, up there at Midwest or something, or when I get somewhere, sometimes I'll get up in there and I'll go ahead and take my chains off, you know, before I back in to open it up, you know, or whatever. Now all I do is just roll it open, let them have it. But I can see up in there. Like I said, I'll just put a couple lights up in there. Put one of them LED light bars up at the top of it, right up there, and something like that way inside. I think it's like daytime.
Yeah, that it definitely will.
So you turn around, it shines in your eyes.
Yeah, you just put some of those ones that you can actually adjust a little bit to where it, you know, you can tilt them down to the floor a little more.
Now point them straight back across the top of the tarp.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'll tell you, once they check it out, give me a call, let me know what it's going to cost, fix it. Don't matter. It's got to be fixed. But,
yeah.
You know, once he figures out what the, you know, what it's going to cost, how much damage he's done. Yeah, we had lifetime on them rollers, but I don't think it applies to damage. Normal wear and tear, maybe, but that ain't normal wear and tear there. That it just crushed them rollers.
Huh.
Oh, you'll see when I open it up, because I think they're still laying up inside the tractor. They can't get out until you take them out. They're broke. That wet bottom on that big nylon roller, it's broke right in half. And that little one of the little steel ones up there that rides on the top of that track, the little tiny ones that I was oiling, they're shattered. That one, it just broke like glass.
Huh.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it didn't fuck the track up. The way it pushed that in, I'm surprised it didn't blow that track, bust that track. I think the reason it busted the roller and not the track was because right there where that track is, it pushed in on it, on them rollers.
Right.
And that track is sitting against the rub rail. So the thickness of the rub rail, and that track was bolted right up and tight against that rub rail. So that roller, that rub rail, as heavy as that rub rail in that pocket was right in there where it broke, it pushed in against it. And that rub rail and everything was hard enough that it supported that rail. It supported that rail and it broke that roller before it broke the rail.
Yeah, gotcha.
Because he asked me, he said, it didn't hurt the rail, did it? I said, well, no, not that I know of. I said, the rail, I said, I had to weld the rail here a couple weeks ago. I fixed it. I had to weld it up because I said, down in Louisville, I said, well, the tow motor driver seemed to think it was a neat idea to run into it. He said, yeah. He said, that happens a lot, too. Guys will bring them in here with them bent in. And he said, we got to straighten out. He said, we usually just change the whole piece. I said, well, I wasn't changing a 20-foot section of that for one piece.
Right.
Little 6-inch spot. I said, I bent it, straightened it back out where it was cracked. I ground it out, and I welded it up, ground it off, and then weld run a bead down the inside of it. I said, it works just fine. He said, well, that's all that matters. I said, yeah. I said, we got the welder, aluminum welder. I said, we weld shit up ourselves now. But I said, these try this roller and that panel. I said, I could probably change the rollers myself.
Right.
But I said, that panel, I'm not real sure exactly how them panels change, and as cold as it is out getting, you know, I mean, because you'd have to have, you know, you'd have to work off a ladder up inside the truck, and then you'd have to take the tractor and work off, you know, somebody pick you up so you could get it started up the side, and then you got to keep lifting it up, pulling it straight up the side, and then start pushing it across the top, and then you got to get up in there and grab it, pull it all the way across the top, or somebody feeds it up through the bottom. Because it's got them little grooves, and that bead goes slides right up around, right over top of that. So it's just, I watched them how they change it. It's neat the way they do it. It don't take them long,
right.
But they do it. They do it every day, so they know how, you know.
Yep, and they got a system.
Yep. Yeah, you know, what they do in an hour take me half a day, if not longer. Time we get done fighting it.
Very true.
Just far ahead, just take it over there, get it fixed right, be done with it.
Yep, call when it's done.
I'm just gonna call Dave tomorrow and I'll tell him, just tell Andy if he gets somebody, you know, if somebody else wants that thing or whatever, just go ahead and sell it. I decided I can't do it right now. I tore my trailer up here in Chicago and busted it all to hell. I gotta get it fixed, so I just ain't gonna swing it right now. Ain't no big deal.
Like you said, if you were still doing the stuff, you know, with Hurley, you know,
yeah,
it'd definitely be a different story.
Yeah, but right now, I mean, I'm not, it's like this week, I've used it. You know, I got down there the other night, I sat there about 8 or 10 hours. And then the other night I sat up there and I idled a little bit at night because it was so cold. But, you know, how often do I actually sit for, you know, 8, 10 hours at a time like that? Not very often.
No. Yeah, with
Marie,
I've been sitting
more since I come back this time than I have ever with her.
Yeah.
And that's just because we ain't running the same shit we used to run.
Yeah, and freight's a lot worse than what it used to be.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we ain't got all the shit we had.
Yep.
Let me see here. Let's see what the... Let's see what the Vanworth Scales is doing tonight. They're closed. I figured it was.
Huh.
Raining, dark, wet, cold, and that's late at night. Yeah, because I don't think that I can legally log since 5 o'clock, leaving 5 o'clock this morning, going to Chicago and unloading, and deadheading home in the same day. I don't think you can do that. That'd be almost 900 miles.
Oh.
Yeah, I figure I'd come home and jump in the shower. I ain't taking shit out of this refrigerator tonight.
No, I'll get it tomorrow.
It's going to be cold enough tonight. It ain't going to nothing go bad. There ain't that much in there anyhow, I don't think yet. Corn dogs, 2 pot pies. I mean, I could throw it in the bag and bring it home. Hell, there ain't that much in there. My milk, ketchup, mustard, a little bit of lunch meat. So tired of eating sandwiches already.
I bet.
Huh?
I said, I bet you are.
What do you think, Ghost? Huh?
Oh, well.
Oh, crud. All right.
We clean this thing off.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I said we could clean this thing off tomorrow and open it up, or, yeah, close it up.
Yeah.
And up in there where that's ripped up the side, I could take a couple of these little one-inch ratchet straps and wrap around the 2 uprights right there in between it, where, you know, across where that panel's ripped.
Yeah.
And snug it down and close it up there at the house and take it over there and park it. That way it's closed up and just that piece will be flapping going, oh, who cares? Punch a hole in it,
yeah.
Hook a bungee strap in it, pull it back and hook it. That way we don't have to do it over there in the dark or whenever.
Okay.
Because I'm telling you now, we get over there tomorrow night. If there ain't a hole to put it in, I'm backing it right up against the front one of the trailers somewhere and I'm going to drop it.
Right.
I'll drop it right in the middle of their fucking lot over there. I'll tell him, hey, there wasn't nowhere to park it. It was dark when I got there. It's there. You can have the yard truck move it. Have the yard truck move it around. They got that little toter truck. They can move it around, put it wherever they want it. So, all right, hon. Well, go ahead and get off of here. And I guess I'll see you when I get in.
All right, babe. Sounds good.
All right. Got 4 more hours, so it's saying I'll be home about 1:30, but I'll be home before that if I come across 30, because I ain't going to court Youngstown. I don't know why it does that.
Yeah, he knows.
So, all right. I'll talk
probably
to you.
Probably because of all the two-lane.
Yeah, well, fastest route.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's fastest. It sure ain't the shortest, I'll tell you that.
Right.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, babe. Be careful.
All right. Love you. Bye.
All right. Love you. Bye. Okay. So, of course, as always, we go over and we talk about everything and anything. And sorry about any of the foul language tonight. It's just been one of them nights. You know how it is. So, this is Tiffany with Redneck and Eyes Radio and Women of Redneck and Eyes. Signing off on this Wednesday evening, it is now 9:18 Eastern Time, and we are still sitting at a bombing 37 degrees here in East Liverpool, Ohio. And I want to tell y'all, stay safe, keep trucking, and we'll see you again tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern, with Ed from Redneck and Eyes Radio. Have a good night, y'all.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.